So tell me about this Rhodes Scholarship. How did that come to be?
Well, it was sort of an accident. Well, I guess I had lined up all the credentials that you needed. Didn't even know what a Rhodes Scholarship was. 2 months before I had it in my hand, I didn't know what it was. And what happened was Dean Russo really thought I should apply, and he gave me a call and he had me come in and he talked to me, and I thought, oh, I don't know, look at this application, there's no way I'm going to get this thing, I don't have time, whatever. And he just kept pushing me, and one day I just happened to mention to one of my friends, this is Willard DeMaa, who was the guy who became president when the president was dismissed. Became a very good friend of mine in the end, and he said, what? They want you to apply for Rhodes Scholarship? What are you, crazy? Of course you're going to apply. And he was the one that drilled it into my brain, along with another guy, his roommate, John Fiakowicz, that I was absolutely, you know, this was huge, and I had to apply, and I just didn't understand. It didn't sink in my head. And so I also, at the time, happened to be very sick, and I wasn't able to do my schoolwork, and I figured, okay, if I can't do my classwork, and I can't work, I might as well fill out this application. So I filled the thing out, and I thought, in all honesty, that at least I'd get a trip home, because I knew that WNO knew I didn't have the cash to fly home. And I thought, okay, well, at least I'm going to get an interview in Hawaii out of this. And it was at Christmas time. And sure enough, I did, and I still was kind of surprised, but I was happy, and I had to take my exams. This is evidence of the honor code. All the professors gave me my exams, and I took them at home in Hawaii. But I flew home, and I had my interview, and all I took home was a dress and shoes and some books, and that was it. I figured that was all I was going to need. I got there, and I had my interview, and I met some people that I hadn't seen in a long time, actually, who were also interviewing. And then they told me that I was going to get to go to the regional interview, and I was like, what? I had nothing. I had no clothes I could wear in the mainland U.S., and so I had to go out and buy a suit and get on a plane, I think the next day, and fly to L.A., and I was still really ill, and I was actually eating cough drops, and there's a series of, there's a breakfast and a drink session, and then your interview, and the whole time I'm on the cough drops, and especially the breakfast and the drinks, and you're supposed to be social, and people told me later that I was out of it, and I wasn't saying anything to anybody, and I was just sitting around waiting for the judges or whatever to come around and talk to me. I went in for my interview, and I guess I don't think I told them anything particularly intellectual. I just answered their questions, and we actually had a good time. We laughed some. They were very interested in WNO. And I didn't think anything of it. I left. Went back to my room, went for a swim, hung out, basically waited to go back home, because what they do is at the end they get everybody together who had interviewed and tell you on the spot who got it and who didn't. So I went back later on in the afternoon and changed out of my suit. I was just wearing a sundress or something, standing around, and next thing I knew they were reading the names off, and I was so sure that I wasn't going to get it, I wasn't even listening. And they said, okay, we're going to read them alphabetical. And they read the first guy's name, and I remember thinking to myself, Lou. Now, how do you spell Lou? Is that going to be after or before my name? And so as I was sitting there doing that, they read my name, and they went on. The next thing I knew, people were shaking my hand, and I was thinking, what? Didn't even hear it, but I was happy. I don't think I understood what it was all about until my second year in Oxford, actually, before I understood really what was going on.
And you say they questioned you about Washington and Lee. What do you think their interest in Washington and Lee was?
Well, they were wondering how a girl from Hawaii was able to assimilate and settle and do the things that I did at WNO, which they knew to be a former male bastion, and which they knew to be Southern in some sort of way, which they knew to be very, very, far from any other large civilization, very out there. They knew more about WNL than I knew, definitely, when I started, and they knew enough to ask me a lot of questions about how in the world I'd survived. And I told them the truth, that I wasn't that bad.
So So no, you wonder, no wonder you're doing such a good job answering my questions. You've already answered these questions.
Well, I don't know if I'm doing a good job. It's been a while since I've talked about these things. I haven't thought about it recently.
So, was that a really important thing in your life?
The Rhodes Scholarship? Mm-hmm. It was a very important thing. I harbor a lot of animosity in some ways, which I don't talk to a lot of people about, and I don't want to sound like a brat, but I had no idea what I was getting myself into, and I don't feel like I had a lot of support while I was there, and people weren't explaining things to me. But on the other hand, a lot of folks say, well, now you've learned that folks out there aren't going to explain things to you in life, and you have to figure things out yourself. And it did, what it did do was I had had, you know, 4 good hard years of high school and then 4 good hard years of college, and I was dog tired, and it gave me, I went there thinking I'm taking a vacation for 2 years as far as I'm concerned, and now I wish I hadn't. I wish I had worked harder, but at that time I guess I was really tired. And it gave me time to just think about my life and where I was going and what I was doing, and it was a very eye-opening experience.
Did you wind up with a degree?
Yeah, I have a bachelor's degree in history from Oxford.
So you get a second bachelor's from them. Oh, is that?
But you can do anything. Some people don't get degrees. Some people get masters. Some people go on to do DPhils, doctorate degrees. Some people get bachelor's. President Clinton didn't get a degree. Mm-hmm. A lot of people at his time didn't. Most people now do, I think. Mm-hmm. Hmm.
So, I've seen your picture there in the library.
Is it still there?
The most
I thought
recent
it might come down
gone.
After President Wilson left.
No, that, well, there are all the previous ones are over
right.
there, too. Have you ever gotten together with the previous? Is there any attempt? Are you some society within Washington and Lee alumni?
No, I guess I'm the only woman too. No, I don't even know that a lot of them are still alive actually. I've only heard about one other guy because he was the father of somebody who was in my class.
I was actually playing a little dumb there in the previous set of questions.
Mm-hmm.
Will Dumas is one of the people I'm going to interview.
Oh, really?
Is there?
Good.
Are there any particular things I should pursue with him?
Willard will give you a good interview. He is much more articulate than I am. That's really funny.
I hope to get to see him. I mean,
you really should. You really should. You really should.
Can you tell me why?
Because
he's in a place that nobody else is, and I've got to justify making that trip.
Well, he's in Chicago now. I don't know if you know.
Oh, I thought he was in Michigan.
Michigan. Yeah, you're right. He's in Michigan. Sorry, he's in Michigan. Anyway, Willard. Why Willard? Well, number one, because Willard was on the honor council for 3 years at a very tumultuous time with the girls, and of course, there's a lot of racial tension at WNL. So he dealt with that. He has a really good perspective on the school, what it wants to be and what it really is. He has some good thoughts on, now that he's older, how he felt that experience shaped him in good ways and maybe some not so good ways. He knew the campus inside out. Well, he knew everybody there. Everybody. I think he has some bad memories and he has some good memories, but he definitely has a lot of, he definitely thinks about WNL a lot. WNL is always on his mind.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So what was your perception of these racial tensions?
I wasn't aware of them. Well, my best friend when I first started, my so-called big sister, was a Filipino-American girl who had grown up in West Virginia. And I think the way she conducted her life was to just ignore anything and just pretend that she was white. Not that she ignored her family, but she just never thought any other way and never ever allowed herself to think that somebody didn't like her because of her race. And I just followed her and I didn't think anything about it. And again, I realized there's a lot of, I mean, there is a lot of problems with the black students, you know, there is a lot of racism. But I didn't feel, you know, I was black and for all intents and purposes white. I didn't really realize until my senior year, when people started to get a lot nastier, that they had, in fact, there had been a lot of questions about where I was from, and I knew that when I sat there in class, especially in the first couple of years, and they read my name off the roll, I was the only Hispanic name generally, and everybody turned around to find out who I was. And I didn't think much of it. I didn't realize until later on that people had thought otherwise, because I guess I just chose to ignore it. I thought it was a good thing for me.
Yeah, it's something I really want to talk to Black graduates, people who have gone through, and hear that perspective. And I think it's really important to hear people your age's perspective. Mm. You know, it's interesting that the list of people that was first put together of people to interview was real top-heavy with 40s and 50s people. And I had to keep pointing out to them that there's a big alumni base out there.
There's a certain way that they want WNL to get projected, that's for sure. You know, no doubt in my mind about that. And that'll come from the 40s and 50s grads, not from the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s.
So when the homecoming weekend happened, did you get animosity from alumni?
Oh, when
towards
they came?
Being a woman?
No. I think the older alums, the real old guys, you know, 75-year-olds and above, whatever, they loved it. I think even the over 50-year-old crowd loved it. A lot of them were really happy because their daughters now get to go to WNL.
Mm-hmm.
And they had no problems with it. It was more the younger crowds that had a bigger problem. And even them, I think the first couple of years, yeah, I did hear stuff and see stuff, especially because I was a waitress, and this was one place where they didn't know I was a student, so I would hear a lot of things, you know, dinner table conversation, because they didn't realize I was a student. And it's funny because I don't think they realized I was a student. A lot of, some of the persistent leaders amongst the alums and maybe the trustees, they didn't realize I was a student. They didn't realize I was a Rhodes Scholar. And then I became a Rhodes Scholar, and suddenly I was sitting there eating with them. And I felt very strange about it, and I think they felt very strange about it as well. It was odd. I eventually just had to quit. I couldn't do that job anymore. It's too weird.
Do you go back now for homecoming?
No. I don't go back any time there's huge crowds of people, because that's not how I like WNL. I like WNL when it's quieter.
And what do you do when you go back now?
Usually I go running. I usually go by myself, and I hang out and have dinner with a couple friends or faculty still around. Go running every day, drive up to the parkway, stuff like that.
Were there places in Rockbridge County that meant a lot to you?
Well, I didn't have a car, so, you know, my circle of reference is going to be smaller, but I did. The Parkway is always a favorite place. Goshen is a favorite place. Probably the places that I most sentimentally attached to are the places that I ran. I guess we ran Turkey Hill. We ran, the towpath to. We ran all the way to Buena Vista one day. Maybe we did that a couple times. I don't remember. I think we did that a couple times. I can't remember what the places are called now, but. Jesus Christ, I can't believe I can't remember. But the trail, WNL's cross country trail, I think those are the places I'm most sentimentally attached to. Any place I could run to, Coach Femister's house, the road to Coach Femister's. There was a battle out somewhere near Coach Femister's house. I used to run around that site, whatever it was called.
Well, is there anything else you would like to say? Is there any thoughts about WNL that I haven't brought up that you'd like to talk about?
I just think that I was much better talking about these things when I was 4 years ago. Yeah. I don't know. 4 years later, what do I think about what happened? I don't
know. I think it was a good thing. It was a crazy time. Lots of things going on.
I bet it was a dramatic time.
You think it's such a quiet place, but you know, you can learn a lot about life at WNL. You certainly can. I think I learned a lot more there than I would have learned at a state school just about being a person. If you try, if you go out there and attempt to do something. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Pat.
You're welcome.
This has been really, really good.
Well, I'm sorry